Welcome to the Manifesting Doll podcast. I'm Barbara Orban from No Diet Babe. I'm a spiritual mindset coach and weight loss expert. If you are a spiritual babe wanting to up-level your life around your body, health, wellness, spirituality, law of attraction and manifestation, then this is the podcast for you. I'm here to give you the tools, teachings, and strategies to manifest the body and life of your dreams. As spiritual babes, we know to focus on love as opposed to fear. So get ready to learn how to implement spiritual teachings to weight loss, wellness, and your daily life coming from a place of love and abundance. This is a celebration of how we can shift our inner perception of ourselves and watch our outer selves shift. You can become the best version of yourself, and I'm here to help. So let's get started. Hey babes, it's Barbara Orban here from nodietbabe.com for another episode of the Manifesting Doll podcast. And I want to talk a little bit more today about some weight loss stuff. I get a lot of women inquiring about the fact that they're dieting and exercising, but they still can't lose weight. And this is so, so common. And this topic is really close to my heart because I was like a really obsessed dieter and exerciser. And I was one of those women that was doing everything that I should be doing according to the advice that's out there. I was trying everything. I was exercising all the time. I was eating all the right foods. Yeah, I still wasn't getting any results. And I was so, so frustrated with this because I was super obsessed with the weight loss industry and making sure I knew every minute detail of how to lose weight. Yet I was frustrated because despite knowing all this stuff, I just didn't look like a person that knew anything about weight loss because I just kept on fluctuating in weight. Not that I was like super overweight or anything like that, but I was just constantly like eating, like binge eating, going through these cycles of dieting and then binging. So it was really frustrating because I would go through these programs and it just wouldn't work for me. So I want to explain now, reflecting back on the times that I used to have like 8 years ago, and now coming out of it after having studied so much about psychology and how to overcome these issues, now I can finally see why this happens, and I can see it happening for so many other women. And I just have to put this stuff out there and help you guys, because like I just know the answers and I know what you need to do to be able to shift and get what you want. So let's get right into it. So you're dieting and you're exercising, but you still can't lose weight. So you pretty much, I get this from a few people, like you're looking at what you're doing and other people look at what you're doing and they're saying, hey, with what you're doing, actually you should be like losing weight. Like what's going on here? And I just want to talk about like from a scientific perspective why this happens, and from a manifestation energetic perspective why this happens, because both are really important because they intertwine and interact together. Okay, so just to shed some light on some stuff with weight loss, when we're talking about what is required to have weight loss, there can be so much controversy over this. Like everybody's saying something different, and people can get so, so confused about what it takes to have weight loss. You'll have people that are saying, you know, it's about your insulin and you have to cut out carbohydrates and that you have to have a high fat diet. And then there'll be other people who are like, you know, it's about eating organic and you have to eat 100% clean in order to lose fat, etc. And you've got all these different camps that are saying different things, or like don't eat sugar, sugar makes you fat, etc., etc. And there's so many messages out there that make it so, so super confusing for people. And the problem is that these messages feed into our subconscious mind and they're repeated to our mind over and over again. So then that even if it wasn't true, you're going to make it true for yourself because it becomes one of your subconscious beliefs that, for example, carbs make you fat or sugar make you fat. So then you actually imprint that as a belief in your mind. So then, yeah, that is the reality that you're going to face. But the way that you can start to debunk these beliefs and change the reality that you're experiencing is to start questioning whether or not this is true. And in my mind, I kind of say to myself, well, if carbs were meant to be, like carbs made you fat, that would mean that every single person on this earth who ate a diet with predominantly of carbohydrates would be fat. Now, is that true? And the answer is no. There are plenty of people out there who eat lots of carbohydrates who aren't overweight. So then it can't be true. So you can kind of question certain things in your mind because at a foundational level, like the foundation of who we are comes from our subconscious mind. And so we don't want to add unnecessary stuff on top of it. And the reason why I say this is because some clients that I have coming to me and just what information I see out there, we start getting in depth about, because you know there's so much about weight and hormones, right? There's so much information out there saying, you know, your weight is due to your hormones. And then people get really, really stuck into hormones, right? And how they've got all this weight because of their hormones. But then my point that I want to make is, even though that stuff can be important and we want to explore different avenues of why we have weight issues, etc., etc., I'm not like putting any of that down or saying that it's not necessary. What I'm saying is that when we get too focused on these things, we get too focused on either calories, for example, as one thing, we're just focusing on the calories, which I'm going to go into that in a moment, or we're just focusing too much on the hormones, or we're just focusing too much on certain things, like maybe like with the hormones, like maybe we're so focused on estrogen, or we're so focused on the thyroid or whatever. I feel like focusing on these things sometimes creates these weight loss blocks in our mind, like literally creating an imaginary block of why you can't lose weight. And I think that it becomes an issue when, I mean, any health issue becomes an issue when you're in that place of not feeling well. Like you're in that place of I'm not healthy. Right? And you're in that focus of I need to fix myself. And it's, I mean, coming back to manifestation basics, like attracts like, it's not that you can't actively do things to be healthier or that necessarily you might need to see somebody for certain supplements or you can go see a naturopath. I've seen Chinese doctors, I've seen naturopaths. It's just that when I'm in that mindset, like I talked about, coming from fear rather than love, and my relationship to my health is very poor and I've got this identity of I am sick, and you create this identity around I have hormonal issues, I have estrogen dominance, I have thyroid issues. It becomes your identity, and then you can't, you just, it's happened to me time and time again, and I get frustrated because I get to the point where I've tried everything to fix the problem and it should be fixing. And it's not because the medication doesn't work or because there's something missing. It's my mindset. It's the identity that I've created for myself, and I had to shift that. The subconscious mind is governing the body. So it's not separate. We're not separate to our mind. The mind and the thoughts and the beliefs and the emotions interact. And so your subconscious mind has control over your hormones, has control over your thyroid, has control over your estrogen and et cetera, and every single other possible weight loss blocker that you have in your mind that is the real reason why you can't shed this weight. You know, a lot of the time, all this weight loss information that we get is actually sometimes making things worse for us. So yes, we're trying to find the reason why we can't lose weight and we're frustrated and we're trying to research it and blah, 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 but we overcomplicate it and then we manifest it being really hard. And we're just going through this cycle of how hard it is and et cetera, et cetera. Now, with manifestation, literally, like if you believe something to be true, you manifest it to be true. So we want to shift our beliefs and try to view weight loss as something that could be easy for us. Now, I totally get it. Like I've been there and I've been frustrated and not having weight loss. But the biggest tip that I can give you that helped me was whenever I had to basically detox my mind from all the shit that I learned about weight loss. I literally detoxed everything. All this stuff about sugar and carbs and whatever else, anything that made me feel overwhelmed, I just was like, no. I'm not going to think about this. I'm going to keep it simple. What is the simplest science that we know about weight loss that isn't overcomplicating it, that is just basic, that I can keep a focus on to make this seem easy? And I chose calorie deficient. I literally said to myself, all I need to do is be in a calorie deficient. And this, I'm going to explain, you know, more about calories as well, because that can also, you can get too focused on that. And that isn't just the only thing. But the thing is that if you're overcomplicating it, it's going to be really, really hard. So for me, there was finding that one thing that I just focused on and it made it seem simple. And the one thing that I kind of know to be true amongst all weight loss, if you're in a consistent calorie deficit, you'll lose weight. So now I'm going to throw another spanner in the works and just say, let me talk about an experience where I was trying really hard to be in a calorie deficit and I didn't lose weight, because some of you might be in the same situation where you are actually, well, you would think that you're in a calorie deficit and you're like, what the heck? I'm exercising all the freaking time. I eat healthy. I hardly, like I'm always eating less than whatever. You've counted macros. You've tried all that. You're like, I've tried being in a calorie deficit. Let me take you back to, I think it was about 9 years ago when, before I knew anything about eating psychology, and I was trying to lose weight and I was at my heaviest, which I wasn't at my heaviest just once. So if you hear me say I was at my heaviest, it's like it's not just a one-off, because my weight used to fluctuate so many times up and down. Like I can't even tell you like how many times I just would gain and lose 20 pounds or 10 kilos like over and over again. It was, yeah, crazy. But anyway. So back when I signed up for a personal training program online, and this was way before even online personal training was as big as it is now, but I signed up with a coach and I was working with a coach one-on-one. They wrote out meal plans for me. They did customization. So everything was customized. They took my details. They took my height. They took my weight. They took my age. They took everything. They created customized meal plans for me. They created customized exercise plans for me. And what they would have done, now I realize, like looking back then, I just thought, oh, it's some complicated process that I don't understand. You know, like I was just so clueless back then of what actually happened. And what I now realize is that just type it, your age and height into a calorie calculator and weight, and then go, this is your intake to maintain your weight. This is your intake to lose weight. And literally what people do sometimes, which I'm going to talk about in a second why it can be really, really shit, is they enter their details into the calculator and they go, right, this is how many calories it is to maintain my weight and this is how many calories it is to lose weight. So basically what, looking at back at the calculations of what I got given, that's what they literally did, is they just said, this is her age, this is her height and weight. For in order for her to lose weight, we're going to put her in a calorie deficit. So let's just put her in a calorie deficit. And I'm pretty sure the figure that they gave that I ended up consuming calories was about 1600. Now, it was actually a really large calorie deficit, and I don't understand why they put me in such a large calorie deficit now looking back. But anyway, when I calculated everything, that's about what I was consuming daily. And so what they, the way that their system was made, because I think that a lot of weight loss systems, because there's such a negative stigma around calories, they just create meal plans based on the calories. And then they just advertise that you don't have to count calories because of the meal plan. But the meal plan itself is still based on a calorie deficit. It's still being calculated so that you're in a calorie deficit, because that's how you lose weight. But I think the negative aspect of all of these meal plans that are created as a one-size-fits-all is that, yes, it's not ideal to count calories in a lot of cases. I admit that fully. It's not that great to do it for certain people, especially the ones that are probably, you're probably listening to this podcast, and it's, you've been through so much trauma around weight loss and weight loss programs, and you have a poor relationship to food. It's just not ideal at all, and you shouldn't be doing it. And I always explain that to people because it's never a one size fits all. And I know heaps of people have already counted macros or already worked with a coach that gave them customized stuff. And there's just a lot of trauma there. So these meal plans are great for some of those people. I can see why that is a great option. But my concern is that these meal plans that are offered are generally a one size fits all. And I know that a lot of popular weight loss plans are like, for example, I might not name names, but there's a really popular meal plan out there that a lot of women follow, and they do have success with it, but it's based on 1600 calories. And for a woman like me, or some women who that is just too low, it's going to set them up for a cycle of not feeling like they can adhere to the meal plan because it's too low in calories. So that's, I think, the biggest issue with these generalized weight loss plans out there, because they're just made as a one size fits all. And generally the calorie deficit is so large compared to what we consume in day to day life. You would actually be surprised at how many calories your body is capable of consuming, because especially these days, because a lot of food is actually quite calorie dense, you'd be surprised at, when you're not dieting, how much calories you can actually consume, which is why a lot of people eat really inconsistently, because they'll go from eating really, really healthy and being in a really low calorie day to a really high calorie day. So basically, I was on this diet where they told me to eat like half a cup of oats for breakfast. Then I got to have half a cup of rice for lunch and a portion of meat. So the way they made me measure my foods by a quarter and half a cups and stuff like that. So then for breakfast, I was allowed half a cup of oats, and then for lunch I was allowed like half a cup of rice, or I wasn't allowed bread. They said, oh, you can't have bread more than once a day. They gave me all these rules, and then they said at dinner time you can't have any carbohydrates, I mean you can't have any like rice or anything like that, you can only have vegetables and meat. And so I followed the diet. And I was following it to a T for 12 weeks. And pretty much, like, I was in a pretty big calorie deficit looking back now, knowing more than what I knew back then. I was in a pretty big calorie deficit. And I was actually, like, I gave myself a hard time at the time, thinking that I wasn't doing it perfect enough. But now looking back, like, I actually followed that diet pretty damn well. And yeah, I strayed every now and again, but if I strayed, I'd stray and have like a freaking protein shake or something. Like, I hardly really strayed, and I don't think I really would have been in some massive calorie surplus. And so I can't really explain that then from a scientific perspective, because I'm not saying I remember what I did. I documented what I did. I was so obsessed that for the 12 weeks, I literally wrote down everything that I ate. I literally documented everything that I ate. I documented every workout. So of course, now looking back, you know, from 8 years ago, now knowing so much more, I can look back and go, wow, I actually wasn't really consuming that many calories. But because I was so chronically dieting, and I just had this shitty relationship with food, I literally just didn't lose any weight. And that's why, as much as it is just about a calorie deficit, and we do want to keep it really, really simple, because it can be that simple, the actual thing that stops it from being that simple as being in a calorie deficit, is that we take the calorie deficit thing too far. We take the healthy eating things too far. We take the whole process of losing weight and dieting too far, and we don't understand the basic mechanisms and principles of the body and how it actually works, and the fact that it isn't as simple as calories in, calories out, and less isn't more. I think also there's just too much information out there. Like, I used to get so afraid of food, like, oh, I shouldn't eat I shouldn't eat corn because it's too high in sugar, or like, I can only eat celery, and there's certain vegetables that are this much sugar content, or I have to cut down on, I can only eat this many grams of sugar, this many grams of protein, blah, blah, blah. And yes, okay, you want to have a balance of macronutrients, but it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be like, oh my God, I need to do this to the gram, or it doesn't even mean you need to count macros at all. I'm not saying that. And a lot of women have such a poor relationship to food that counting macros is the last thing that they should be doing. But weight loss isn't that hard. People overcomplicate it. There's so many rules around it. And let me give you one piece of advice that is going to be the best piece of advice you hear. Okay, so listen up. The trick to weight loss, besides all the mindset crap and all of that that I bang on about, all of that's important. But just from a basic, like basic scientific level, weight loss, like I've said, is a calorie deficit. You need to be in a calorie deficit, but you don't want to be in too much of a calorie deficit. So that's all it is. Being in a calorie deficit, but not a too much of a calorie deficit. The problem is that people go in too much of a calorie deficit. That is seriously all I see. They go from one extreme to the next. They go from large calorie diets, high carb, to low calorie diets and low carb. They go from one extreme to the next. The secret is to harness your metabolism. If you're binge eating and you're eating a high carbohydrate diet, you have already basically reverse dieted your way up. You've already built up a metabolism, right? Take advantage of that. If you start going from not exercising to exercising 5 days a week, and then your body adapts really quickly from not exercising to exercising 5 days a week, are you getting the full advantage of your metabolism? No, you're not. Take full advantage of your metabolism before it adjusts by making changes incrementally. Then you are harnessing the power of your metabolism. If I have a maintenance calories of 2,400 and then I go down to 1,500 and my body adapts to 1,500 calories, I've got nowhere to fucking go from there. Like, where am I going to go? Keep on going in at a deficit? No, that's crazy. I'm going to get exhausted. My metabolism's going to really slow down. I'm going to get, my levels of ghrelin are going to shoot through the roof. Yeah, I'll lose pounds really quickly because I'm in a massive calorie deficit, but my body will adapt real quick and then it'll go to shit. What can you do is, instead of going in such a large calorie deficit, harnessing your metabolism, and rather than exercising so fucking much from like not exercising at all, is to do it incrementally. Harness the power of your metabolism. Your body's job is to maintain homeostasis. Like, pretty much just at a core, your body wants to keep you alive. Like, that's its job. Its job is to keep you alive. And the body is so good at this. Like, there are so many things in place that just keep you alive. And the biggest thing is homeostasis. So what that means is homeostasis is all the body's, like, it's all the physiological processes, right? It's trying to keep them all in a state of equilibrium, right? So what that means, it's kind of like when, like, it's all the different things. Like, it's regulating your temperature, it's regulating the fluid balance, it's regulating your weight, etc., etc. And I'm going to be talking about like set point another day. But basically, your body is built to survive. And so what that means is, no matter what you do, your body's always going to adapt to it. It's like, even as subtle as when you try a new conditioner and it makes your hair go amazing the first time you use it, and your hair's just looking immaculate the first time you use it, and then eventually after a while it stops working. And I know that's a really silly example, but I know you must know what I'm talking about, right? Because this happens to everyone. Your body gets used to products. Your body gets used to things. That's what the body does. It adapts. It's so fucking clever. It adapts to things. And then it no longer has that acute effect that it did in the beginning. The same thing happens with losing weight. You go into a calorie deficit. You start an eating plan that's really healthy. You do all the right stuff. You start exercising 5 days a week. And then your body adapts. That's what happens. But what happens is, women or people spend years in that place of chronic calorie deficit, and their body has adapted to this chronic calorie deficit. Not only that, but their eating is so sporadic and all over the place. It's chaotic. It's like up and down. It's like I'm not eating hardly anything and then I'm eating everything. And this is chaotic for the body. It doesn't know what the freaking hell you're doing. Are you low carb? Are you high carb? What are you doing to me? That's what's happening. And that just goes against everything that your body needs, which is consistency. Your body loves to predict and know exactly what the hell is going on. It's when you give it everything it needs consistently that it's going to feel comfortable enough to lose weight. Because if you're going low calorie, high calorie, all over the shop, your body doesn't know what the fuck is going on. It's not going to let go of fat stores. It's kind of like the equivalent of money. It's like if you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, you're not going to spend every last cent. It's the same with your metabolism. If you eat consistently, your metabolism will be consistent. If you're all over the shop, your body's going to go, let's reserve some energy now. Let's just not expend this energy. Let's do the minimal required just in case we lose energy from somewhere. And that's the thing, consistency. And not just consistency in what you're eating, but your consistency in energy. Like, because there's a difference between eating a lot of food and eating enough calories. They're two different things. Okay, so I love analogies because analogies, there has to be some sort of science on it, but analogies help us because it creates a visual, and then we can connect the analogy to kind of make our brain understand what, like, to be able to understand the context of what's being said. Anyway, so I have an analogy and I've been trying to think of the right analogy. So like if it's not a good analogy, I'll think of another one, but I'm just going to give this a shot. Okay, so when we go, majority of women who have been trying to lose weight for a long time, they've put themselves in a really large calorie deficit. Like I said, they've been chronic dieters, they've been eating really healthy, they've been exercising a lot, and their body has adapted to this new set metabolism, like this new kind of range, because they're not being very consistent. So it's going by like all this fluctuating intake, it's probably just going to go by some sort of random area that could be better. Like it could have adapted to something better. I hope that makes sense. But basically, so the body's adapted to this lower calorie and this frantic eating and this chronic dieting, right? And if you kind of get a visual of comparing putting a woman, trying to put a woman on a calorie deficit when her metabolism has already been damaged by like chronic dieting, compared to putting someone on a calorie deficit who has a good relationship with food, who has reverse dieted and has a decent metabolism, it's like the equivalent of the woman who's a chronic dieter is like trying to use electronic when the battery's like quite flat. And like, for example, if I'm trying to use my vacuum cleaner because I've got a cordless vacuum cleaner and the battery, it's like I'm trying to set the task of cleaning the whole house with the battery. The battery's like half dead and I start vacuuming and the battery runs out real quick. And it's like, well, where can I go from here? Like, I've got to charge it back up first, right? I've got to charge it back up first, and then I can use the battery. Whereas if I would have just charged that battery up first all the way, I could have just gotten so much more out of the use of the vacuum cleaner. This is like the dumbest analogy right now. I'm going to try harder to think of an analogy. But that's kind of what I'm trying to get at with metabolism. When you're a woman that's been on diets for the last few years or your whole life and you've been avoiding carbohydrates and you're trying to lose weight from this place of, I already cut out carbohydrates. I already, there's no energy left in the battery. It's like you got to charge up first. You got to charge your metabolism up. Your metabolism isn't something that you're stuck with, or that metabolism can change. My goodness. People need to stop creating this identity around having a poor metabolism. It's something that can be built up, and it's something that can be lost. Like, it goes up and down, and there's not that much difference. I've seen a recent study. There's not that much difference between people's metabolism. It's more that their TDE or whatever it is, their activity level, is either more or less, because some people just move, like do incidental exercise more. So like, for example, if I walk up and down the corridor at my job because I'm getting the patient, I'm bringing them back to the room, I'm going to have more energy, like food, my metabolism or whatever you want to call it, like my energy expenditure for the day is going to be more than if I didn't go to work and I just sat at home in front of my computer all day. Like, that's more the difference rather than me having a faster metabolism than anyone else. I don't necessarily think there's much difference between my metabolism and somebody else's metabolism. Yeah, okay, maybe because of my height or whatever, there's maybe a few hundred calorie difference, but I've actually written out and done a chart of the ranges of calories between somebody who's short and somebody who's tall, and it's only like a few hundred calories difference between different heights and weights of people. Like, I don't want to go too much into that because it's not really necessary, but what I'm trying to say is that metabolism isn't this thing that you're stuck with. It's something that you can recharge, something that you can build up. And if you've been a chronic dieter, the likely reason why you're struggling to lose weight is because you're trying to vacuum with 3/4 of your battery gone. It's like, charge that shit up and then try and lose weight. Like, don't try and lose weight from this place of already having a shit metabolism. Like, go and do a reverse diet. Go and become, like, feel satisfied around food. Build a relationship with food where you enjoy it, where you feel satisfied, where you give yourself permission to eat carbohydrates. And because then if you've already built up, you've built up, for example, that you're eating 50, 60% carbohydrates out of your daily intake, and then you drop it, you got somewhere to go, you've got something to drop. Like, you don't just, your maintenance is now 1500 because you've been on a chronic diet for so long, and then you drop it down to 1000. Like, that's bullshit. Reverse diet your way up and then go down. So, like, again, I don't want to scare people who are overwhelmed by macros or say that you need to count macros or whatever. I'm just trying to educate people to understand that when they're chronically dieting, they can't keep on lowering their calories from that place. I honestly, like, I went through a point where I was counting macros and that was really working for me. But it's because I did the mindset work for years and years prior that I was able to apply that strategy. And it's not like I applied the strategy from a place of dieting. I applied it from a place of intuition, and that's why it made a difference for me. Even though I was focused on a calorie deficit, I was coming from a place of love, not fear. Because if you're coming from a place of deprivation, just like I was explaining before, how I hired a coach for 12 weeks and she planned out my meals for me, she customized it to me, and yet I still couldn't lose weight. It's not the first time that I've tried to follow a customized meal plan and not been able to lose weight. It's not the first time that I've went to, you know, I've been to naturopaths and said, you know, help me. And still, like, I couldn't figure out what was going on with my hormones, with my acne, with my gut, with my weight, everything, because I was eating clean, yet I wasn't getting any better. And it was all to do with my relationship to food. It was to do with my thought patterns. It was to do with my energy around food and shifting all of that. And then suddenly the basic science of being in a calorie deficit was easy because I cut through the reasons why I had to feel so, why did I feel so deprived around food? I had to analyze that. I had to go into my past, into my childhood, into my conditioning around food, into my conditioning around dieting, etc., etc. Like, there's not just one solution that I can tell you as to why you're not able to lose weight right now. But it's got to do with your mindset. It always has to do with your mindset. Always does. Because if somebody's lost weight and they are still dieting, it's just like a band-aid. It's like you haven't actually addressed the core issues. And that's why people fluctuate, because they go on a diet, they lose a bit of weight, and they're so high on this diet being the solution. Like for example, keto, it's like, I don't want to upset anyone who's really a fan of keto, but I only use this example because I was on the low carb bandwagon for so many years, and I was praising it and I was telling everyone about how it's the right thing to do when you're going to lose weight and you're going to feel fantastic. And then I would, you know, months later I'd put the weight back on and then I'd beat myself up because I couldn't stop avoiding carbs. And so I don't want other women to suffer from this thing because keto's working for so many other people and it's working for you. But that can go for any strategy. Like I said, I used macros, but there's plenty of people that macros does their head in and keto is easy for them. And my theory behind that is because it's whatever makes you feel more satisfied around food. The reason why a lot of people like keto is because they're giving themselves permission to eat fat and that feels good for them. It probably makes them feel abundant about food. It makes them, that whole mentality of dieting and deprivation is suddenly made, felt like they're made to feel better about eating because suddenly the answer is that it was the carbohydrates all along, you know, and I get to feel satisfied around food because I get to eat a lot of fat. And so if that is working for you and it does make you feel satisfied, then great. But then there's people who maybe it does feel satisfying for a little while and then you miss carbs and then it's not going to work for you because food is an emotional thing. Like you can't deny your intuition and your feelings of I want carbohydrates. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with carbohydrates. Like seriously, show me a study that says that carbohydrates are the one thing that cause obesity and cancer, because you're not going to find reputable solid science that shows this. Because you're going to find contradicting science to all the, and find any keto book and you'll be like, oh, but there's science proving this and this and this. And then you'll be able to find something that contradicts that. Because that's what the world of science is. It's complete contradiction. Everything to do with nutrition. Because we're not all equal, and because of the placebo effect, it gets really, really complicated. Studies around nutrition are really hard to measure because our bodies, anything to do with health, it's hard to measure. And science is constantly evolving and growing. Things that we used to think were true are no longer true, etc., etc. So it's still a big question mark. Even though we want to respect science, I don't want to say too many bad things about science because I also respect science. But I also understand that you can't just like use science over what's actually working or not working and beat yourself up for it, is what I'm trying to say. Like beat yourself up because you're not able to follow something. The thing is that where, like, when you're in that place of nothing's working and I keep on trying to lose weight, but nothing's working out. So I'm doing all the right things. Nothing's working out. I can't lose weight. And you've spent years and years of this being in this place. That belief is quite strong. Like, it's very, very strong because it's had so much evidence of it being true. But the way that you start to shift that belief is sometimes through action. Because if I tell you that weight loss is possible and it's easy for you, your brain's still not going to get it. And so you do have to open up to the idea of it being possible for you, but also not to set yourself up for failure by making the challenge too big. Like, you got to start small. So because you've had years of years of not believing in your ability to lose weight, it's going to be hard because you're working against that belief. And so the way that you can start to shift that belief is to, first of all, if you're gaining weight, get comfortable with learning an ability to maintain weight rather than losing it. Like, because a lot of women go from I'm binge eating and I'm gaining weight to automatically wanting to lose weight. And it's like, how about you take one step forward instead and work on maintaining your weight instead of fluctuating? Like, if you're fluctuating up and down, set a challenge to maintain your weight. See if you can maintain your weight. And then maybe you're wanting to lose like 30 pounds. Don't start with that goal of 30 pounds. See if you can lose 1 pound or 2 pounds and keep it off for several weeks. Set yourself a small challenge that's going to improve your confidence. Because when it's this big project of like 30 pounds and you expect to do it in one go, it's actually quite difficult on the body to lose that many pounds in one go. A lot of people think that weight loss is this linear thing, but I would say that the reason why my weight loss was easy to maintain is because I didn't do it in one big go. I did it incrementally. I did it very intuitively, knowing that when I needed a break from it, I took a break and I focused on weight maintenance. And a lot of people don't understand how to maintain weight. They don't know how to go from dieting and losing weight to then maintaining weight, because nobody teaches, well, they do teach, but not a lot of trainers teach about reverse dieting and how to actually come out of the dieting and come out of the calorie deficit in order to then maximize your metabolism again, because you don't want to be in that sluggish metabolism place, so that whenever you go out to have a meal to eat or have something that's high calorie, you're not fluctuating in weight all the time. The key to a fast metabolism is building a fast metabolism. It's not that it's something that you just get. It's something that I've created it. I've gone from having a sluggish metabolism to a fast metabolism because I've not allowed myself to go in such a large calorie deficit. It's like that saying, like, with confidence, right? The better it gets, the better it gets. Like, the hardest part is getting that initial weight loss and believing that you can maintain it. So if you can convince yourself that you can lose 2 pounds and maintain it, that's already going to give you enough momentum in the right direction to lose the bigger pounds. The problem is that if you set a goal of 30 pounds and you lose that 30 pounds and then you can't keep it off, it's going to be harder for you because you haven't built up that confidence in maintaining even a small amount of weight loss. So you know, even though it sounds like really silly to set a goal of losing 2 pounds and then keeping it off for a while, it's more that, like that saying, the better it gets, the better it gets. Like, you build up that confidence and the shifting that belief that you can't lose weight and nothing works for you. You're gaining that momentum in that right direction of, hey, maybe I can lose weight. Maybe I can keep it off. And that's where you start to shift that belief, is to open up the doors and look at that possibility. Because you've got to you've got to see that it's a possibility and you've got to start small. And I guess I'm learning that in terms of other, because with weight loss for me, I've studied it so much, it seems easy for me, but I can understand, like, from manifesting other things, you start tend to want to start with the big things. You tend to start to say, I want to make $1 million, or I want to manifest this, or and you got to start small and build up your confidence, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing with everything, of course. Well, I hope that was really helpful for you today. I know that, like, it's a bit of a, like, it's a lot of information for you. But yeah, I just wanted to cover, like, what, from my perspective, some of the most common reasons why women struggle to lose weight. Yeah, so anyway, I do have spots available for one-on-one coaching. So if you're interested, hit me up with, like, a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, whatever your preferred platform. Send an email to hello@nodietbabe.com if you'd like to learn more about one-on-one coaching. And there's also a link, if you want, you can actually book a time with me just to chat for 15 minutes about how I can help you with your weight loss goals. Okay, babe, enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you loved this episode, I'd love for you to leave me an iTunes review. Don't forget to follow this podcast for more uplifting teachings to come. For more tips, inspiration, and teachings, come follow me on Instagram at NoDietBabe, or check out my website, NoDietBabe.com. Until I see you next time, babes, lots of love.